Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis, and I am here with Rick, with Larry, and Dr. Don on the phone. And we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule on this December 17, 2021, to join us for our program. The Bible on Trial is the flagship program of Spirit of Truth Ministry, and it was started by Dr. Rich Hull in 2007, and we have been on the, internet air, first with, Talk Shoe, the old days, and then finally migrated over here to, we were one of the first after Blog Talk Radio got going to syndicate. And so we've been on the platform since 2007. And we are glad that you've taken a few minutes out of your day to join us. Our primary website is Spirit of Truth Ministry. And there you will find lots and lots of good writing. We've been getting some rather nice comments lately. And we hope that you'll go there and especially take a look at the book, Spirit of the Church, and the Grand Plan. And there's a lot of other good writing up there by Rick. We have our secondary website at spiritoftruthministry.net/SSM. And there you will find lots of writing by Rick and the rest of us. Archive where you can find lots of that writing, including the timing chart of the end and how that became, and there's a paper also that Rick wrote, how that came about, and you might be interested in that, even though that timing chart no longer applies to us. And we have been going through this since August of 2020 as to why it doesn't apply. We also have a Facebook group page called Spirit of Truth Ministry Group, and you can go there and you can link each Friday and each Sabbath, Saturday. There will be a link there with a description, and you can just click on that, and it'll take you right to the Blog Talk Radio program of the day. Today, and just a quick aside, today is December 17, and 6 years ago, or 6 or 7 years ago, my brother was involved in a motorcycle accident, and 3 days later he died, and not on December, not on his birthday, but in that year. And so this December 17 is also a kind of a poignant day for me and my twin sister and my younger sister who are left. Don was a brilliant lawyer. He had integrity, unlike a lot of the lawyers today. Don and I did talk about these issues that we are talking about a little bit today. It wasn't as sophisticated or as complete. And Don, like so many others, had a love affair with the Apostle Paul. He was a member of a community church that basically used Paul's writings as the foundation for their Christianity. And incidentally, Paul is the foundation of Christianity. And he took actually substantial umbrage at my postulating that Paul was not who he said he was and didn't work for who he said he worked for. But Don was an honest man, and I think that had he lived, he would have seen the light eventually, and at least I hope so. So just a remembrance for my brother Don, Donald Otto Neufeld Esquire. I miss him, and my twin sister and my sister Debbie, Denise and Debbie, also miss him, and we will look forward to seeing him soon. So there you go. Let's have a greeting here. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
Are you in Grand Terrace or are you out and about?
I'm inside the city limits and I'm just up and about, but not out and about.
Good. And how,
I raked
how are
a
you
few
doing?
Leaves in the yard already and trimmed some hedge.
I would like to be able to rake the leaves in my yard, but maybe this weekend, who knows. And how are you doing today, Don?
Just another day. Everything's pretty much the same. I'm enjoying the gorgeous sunshine. Looking forward to a great study. Rumor has it there's a lot of confusion going on in the world.
You know, that's a fairly substantial rumor, Don. So, yeah, we will get to some really interesting things today. So nice to talk to both of you. And Rick, you're up.
Did you give the date today?
Yeah, I sure did.
Okay. Well, that's good.
December 17.
It's always a good, you were talking about your brother's birthday. And I'm working on a new article, which will ultimately be published on our Facebook and our WordPress site. And it is based upon this text, not really based upon it, but this text verifies it. We've talked a lot about truth and trust and how those two qualities are intricately linked together.
Another good word would be inexorably linked.
Yes. You cannot have trust, you cannot have truth without trusting in the truth. The problem, and this is not just a problem, this is a disaster. If you have trust, but your trust is in lies, fables, falsehoods, deception, but you think it is in truth. Why would anyone in their right mind trust in something that was not real and not true? It pretty much boils down to two main things, although there are some other elements involved, but the two main things are the source of the information that you trust in and how you view and believe in the source of that. I know a lot of people who believe that their political representative would never lie to them, would never do anything that would make their life more miserable or steal all their money or take away their freedom or anything like that. They would never do that. So whatever comes out of the mouth of their representative, they believe. Particularly the president, the prime minister, the king. These people would never, ever, ever lie to you. They have your best interest at heart. If they tell you that what you're seeing is not really what you're seeing, you believe it. I know people today realize that the environment that they're living in is, well, it looks like it's a tyrannical environment. But it couldn't possibly be because the leaders of the countries of the world are not tyrants. They're not dictators. Even though it would appear that they are, they really are just working to make it better for everybody.
And in that vein, I know you've got a text, but I have a text too, two of them actually. Isaiah 59, and Isaiah is great for this. Isaiah 59, 14 and 15, and listen to this and tell me if this doesn't apply to us exactly here today. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight, that there was no justice. How about that? Does that describe us?
Exactly. So I think you get my point. What I'm saying is, if you're listening to this podcast, I would assume that you have at least a passing interest in God, if not a belief in God, that God actually exists. It's hard for me to understand that there are people who see the horrific evil in the world, in a lot, mainly in the leadership of the world, and don't believe the devil exists. Yet the evil in this world, and it is primarily amongst the leaders of the countries of the world, it is clear to see that they are making every attempt that they possibly can to unify the nations of the world under one authority. If you don't see that, then I would seriously question whether you are not blind. What started out millennia ago. The war came about because one of the highest created spiritual beings decided that he wanted to take something that was not his. And the typical way to do that, to take over a territory or a country, is to go to war. In the spiritual realm, a conventional war doesn't work. A conventional war is conducted by trying to destroy the other country, to massacre the army so they can no longer fight or win, to destroy the country so that it is crippled economically and take the leadership of the country into captivity. Typically, they would put the king to death. That's how you would do that conventionally, but in the spiritual realm, that doesn't work because spiritual beings are not mortal. You can't kill them. So what Lucifer did was he wanted the earth to be his kingdom. And how would he go about doing that? His way was to lie to the leadership. Now, I know most of our listeners believe that the man, Adam, was the first human being created. He wasn't. On the sixth day of creation, the Creator, God Most High, and His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and His Son, created everything above, on, and in this earth. On the sixth day, they called forth from the ground the men and women, male and female, who were created in their image and after their likeness, and were created with the same multiplicity of difference, I guess. In other words, there were different skin colors, facial shapes, different color hair. They're just like he made different types of animals and different types of birds and fish and so on like that. He had the same diversity in his creation of mankind. He created the nation, or the ethnicities. And the earth,
in the regions of the world that would best support
them. Yes. And the earth contained all of these nations. The one thing, though, because they were mortals, and blood, made of the dust of the earth. They were mortal so that they would live a certain amount of time and then they would die when they were advanced in age. So they were able to procreate to maintain the life of mankind here on earth. Spiritual beings do not procreate because they are immortal. What the devil did was he came down he took on the form of a serpent, a dragon, and went to the nations, deceived the nations, taught them everything they needed to know. He set up kingship and rulers over the peoples of the nations, and these acted on his behalf. He instructed them on what they were to do.
And he set the laws for their behavior.
Correct. He also would instruct them in how to conduct war and battle strategy. So you would ask, okay, so if this happened this way, just if it did. So you say, why then did God create Adam? The Adam, which is the earth man. Why did he create him? Because, and that brings us to what we are talking about today. We're talking about war and the purpose for war. Is there a purpose for war? Most people say no, there's never a purpose for war.
There was a congressman who came home from Vietnam with double amputee in the legs. And he had been a war fighter. He was in combat. And he came up with an interesting take on the purpose of war. And he said, it is to kill people and break things. Sometimes that is all that it's there for. But most times, war is fought, in fact, all of it is always fought for either religious or political reasons. And whether those are applicable or good or bad or whatever.
Or monetary.
Well, yes, political includes the monetary.
Monetary is.
Yeah, well, both of them include the monetary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, what I would see it is the monetary includes the political, because the monetary allows you to control the political. So.
Well, but you see, that's exactly the same for most religious.
Well, he who controls the money controls the political.
Right.
Or whatever it may be. So what makes war? If you were going to look and say, oh, that's a righteous war, okay, if there's such a, it would seem to be a contradiction, but not so in this case. What would make a righteous war? What the devil did here on earth was he conducted a coup. And he was not alone in this. He had help from other spiritual beings.
I wonder if we've seen an example of that on this earth recently. Maybe not. I don't know.
And the coup was not to overthrow God from his throne in the heavens. It was just to overthrow his authority here on earth. And so through deception and subterfuge, he took control of the people of the earth and presented himself as their creator God. And while you don't necessarily find this in the Bible, you will find it in extra-biblical ancient writings that are widely available if you want to read them. There's, you know, the Babylonian.
The Tale of Gilgamesh.
And the tablets and the cuneiform tablets. All those that they've made public make it clear that there were gods who came down from the heavens and gave man knowledge. And then there's different variations, but, you know, there's a flood story in the extra biblical ancient texts, which is somewhat similar to Noah and so on, but it, you know, it's there. So what you have to, when we look at it, we would have to say, well, something must have gone wrong because we have these accounts in all these ancient texts and in the Bible. If you believe in the Most High God who created all things, and he has made it clear that he has given the information that we find in the law and the prophets, in Matthew and John, who record the testimony of their teacher, their king. That the information in there, whether it's not in the original language or anything like that, God, who created the universe and has maintained it ever since its creation, can maintain his word, and he promised us that he would maintain his word.
And there we are in Isaiah again.
Which, you know, I went over last week, that is, I think, very telling and very significant, is that the one book, prophetic book, that Isaiah wrote that contains God's telling us for certain that when he says something that is to accomplish something, that it will not accomplish it. And we have a complete book of Isaiah found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which is, for all intents and purposes, identical to what we have in our Bible. So, through a lie, the devil took control of the people of the earth, and the people of earth were venerating him as their creator God. And those spiritual beings who joined him in the coup were seen as the gods of the world. And you can go to any ancient culture and read about their gods, from Ra to Odin and Kronos to Quetzalcoatl. All the cultures venerated gods in the heavens who came down from the heavens and ruled over the earth through their earthly human rulers. The creation of the man, which we've, well, let me read this one first, and then we'll go to Genesis 2. Revelation chapter 12, starting with verse 7. And now war broke out in the heavens when Michael and his angels attacked the dragon. Now, the dragon is that ancient serpent, the devil. On earth in various cultures, he is the dragon of the Asian countries, the dragon-plumed serpent, Quetzalcoatl of the Americas, and the dragon of North theology, Norse theology, among other countries. Notice who starts this war. Do you see who starts this war? It's Michael and his angels. So when did this happen? That would be an interesting thing to know. Correct?
Absolutely.
I have a good idea, and I will share that with you. We find it in Daniel. We've read it many times before. We'll read it again. You notice I will go back to texts over and over again, because I think that's how you will be able to do the same. When you understand this, when it makes sense to you and you can see it clearly, it's very easy to go back and forth with texts and to read this. Daniel chapter 7, starting with verse 13. I gazed into the visions of the night, and I saw coming on the clouds of the heavens one like a son of man. That's an important point. File that away. He came to the one of great age and was led into his presence. So you get the kind of the pomp and circumstance of everything that's going on here. On him was conferred sovereignty, glory, and kingship. Now, those three definitions, defining terms, are very important. He is sovereign. He has been glorified. You know, in his prayer to his father, he said, glorify me with the same glory that we shared at the creation of the world.
That word for dominion in the Hebrew, in the Strong's lexicon, sovereignty, Hebrew 7985, is actually, and it is sovereignty, it is also empire, empire. So, in addition to dominion. So what this says to me is that's everything. It includes everything. There is nothing that is not included in that.
Okay. Well, that goes along with what it then says after this. So glory is, to me, glory is perfect in truth and power.
And by the way, the next word over there, kingdom, that is
or kingship.
Kingship or kingdom, that's Hebrews, that's the Strong's 4437. And in the NASEC, version of that, the last definition, is the word sovereignty. So this whole thing is talking about the ruler who has no one to rule over him.
He's the ultimate authority. Now, understand, what did the devil do? That's what we're going to talk about. Keep that in your mind. On him was conferred sovereignty, glory, and kingship, and men of all peoples, nations, languages became his servants. So he's one like a son of man. He must be born of a woman, to be a son of man. All sons of men are born of a woman. Now, he is not asking for sovereignty, glory, and kingship from the one of great age. He's walking in and it is being conferred on him, given to him. So he has to have to do this. And this is for the sons of men, okay? We're not talking about in the heavens. We're talking about the sons of men here on earth and why he would need to do this. Why? I mean, you would think, well, God is all powerful. Why can't God just say, yeah, I'm God, so you're done. You're finished.
There was a legal requirement that this son of man had to fulfill in order to have that conference made.
You see, when the devil deceived the nations and portrayed himself as their creator God, and they accepted him as their creator God, because they didn't know the truth. He was their source of truth. Then what God needed to do is what any God, remember, when we're talking about the nations, and this is why I've gone over this, God with a capital G and gods with a small g, are spiritual beings in authority. And just as the war started in the heavens by Michael and his angels attacking the dragon and his angels, and that the war is not a conventionally conducted war. So what is probably a key element that you understand is that when we're talking about the spiritual war, we are not talking about a conventional war. But the purpose for a war is still the purpose. It's for control, and in this case, a divine control, divine rulership. God is the one who is over you, and you recognize the true God as your God, and you serve him. So he had sovereignty, glory, and kingship, and men of all peoples, nations, and languages became. That word is so important. Became. How do you become his servants? When you know him, you know his will, and you do his will. What does that require? It requires that you know the truth. You have to know the truth, because this war, not conducted with force of arms or destruction like that, although the devil will use that, that's not how this war is conducted. This war is who is telling the truth. That's who is telling the truth. Whom do you trust as your source of truth? His sovereignty is an eternal sovereignty. Only truth is eternal. Lies are not, because lies are nothing. Lies are words that describe nothing. They're like, do you know what a derivative is? Have you heard of a derivative?
Oh, yes. It is a financial instrument based on other financial instruments. It's derived from something that is not real and made to look like it's real.
Yes. So when you pay money for it, you're not really paying money for anything. A good example are gold and silver contracts. Do you know why there are gold and silver contracts? What they're doing is like printing fiat dollars. There's nothing backing up those three fiat dollars, but yet they're given to you as if they're something of value, but they're nothing but an IOU nothing. And then you're charged interest on that also, which is nothing. Lies are based on nothing. If you trust in a lie, what are you trusting in? Nothing. Nothing. Why would you believe a lie? Why would you believe a lie? Why would you not investigate to make sure that what your trust is in and who your trust is who you think it is and not who you believe it is? His sovereignty is an eternal sovereignty, which shall never pass away, nor will his empire ever be destroyed. And then we read in verse 19. Actually, I think it's... Then I asked the truth about the fourth beast, different from all the rest, very terrifying, with iron teeth, bronze claws, eating, crushing, trampling underfoot what remained. The truth about the 10 horns on his head and why the other horn sprouted and the 3 original horns fell. I watched the horn I watched making war on the saints and proving the stronger until the coming of the one of great age who gave judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High when the time came for the saints to take over the kingdom. When is the time? When is that time? When the time came for the saints to take over the kingdom. Well, obviously, when this happens here, where the son, one like Son of Man is led into his presence, on him is conferred sovereignty, glory, and kingship. And then men of all peoples, nations, languages became his servants. Key word is became, and the phrase his servants. Became his servants. How do you become a servant of the Son of Man? He told us. He told us how to become his servants. He made it very clear. God has told us how to become his servants. But nobody listens and nobody pays attention. He came here to earth to tell us exactly what we needed to do to enter his kingdom. And his final act made it possible for those who believed in his testimony, you believe in him by believing in his testimony, to enter the kingdom. Time came for the saints to take over the kingdom was when there was saints to take over the kingdom. When, in other words, there were those who had completed the sanctification process, the process of moving from believing and practicing in lies to believing and practicing in the truth, period. You say, well, but wait, you know, I believe in the Bible. What is the Bible? Tell me, what is the Bible? It is not God's word from cover to cover.
It is a compilation of writing by several authors who were decided upon by a council in 325 CE. And it was the choice of these elders of the Roman Catholic Church that decided what they wanted to have in there. It was not God saying, put these books in the Bible. It was men who said, put these books in the Bible.
The Bible contains the words of God, but it is not the word of God.
Absolutely.
So we are given in Matthew the description of when this time comes. Okay, you got that. So back to Revelation 12. Michael and his angels attacked the dragon. The dragon fought back with his angels. So what was going on here? This was a war of words. Michael and his angels were using words of truth, and the dragon and his angels were using words of lies, and the decision was made. Two-thirds of the angels sided with Michael, so the dragon was cast out, he and his angels. The dragon, the primeval serpent known as the devil or Satan, who had deceived the whole world, hurled down to the earth. Now, I like what the New American Standard Bible says here, in because it really rings clear that this was a war. What it says in the New American Standard Bible is, and they did not prevail, and there was no longer a place for them in the heavens. What happens when a nation or a country loses the war?
They are placed under subjugation of the victor.
Yeah. How did, Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus and Alexander the Great and Caesar Augustus, the one who, the Caesar who conquered the world and started the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
What happened to the countries who lost the war with Rome?
They were absorbed into the country that won.
They were absorbed into the country that won. So here, he no longer had a place in the heavens, but where did he have a place?
On the earth.
On the earth. That, see, this, does this not make sense?
perfectly.
Does this not make sense?
Yep.
Now go to Genesis chapter 2. And I'm going to read from, what is it? Let's start with verse 8. Yahweh God planted a garden in Eden, which is in the east. Now, first of all, recognize that there is a place name, Eden.
Already established.
Already established. And the garden was, the garden didn't become, the garden wasn't Eden. The garden was either in Eden or on the east of Eden. So it depends on how that translated out. But the fact is that Eden, the area or the land of Eden, existed before God planted the garden. That's one good proof that there was people in existence before the man was created.
And one other thing, too. The idea that chapter 2 is simply a restatement of chapter 1 does not fit with the narrative way that the Bible would have been, these words would have been remembered by the people who to whom God gave it.
Right. Well, what and, most experts say is, well, Genesis 1 is talking about the literal creation and Genesis 2 is talking about the spiritual creation. What?
No. It says, as a heading here, the creation in verse Genesis 2:4, the creation of man and woman. And it occurs right after God rested on the seventh day from creation. So this has to be a second creation.
In fact, in the Jerusalem Bible here in chapter 2, this section I just read from is under the heading, the second account of the creation.
See,
well, it's actually the account of the second creation.
Right.
Anyway, God caused spring from the soil every kind of tree, enticing the look and good to eat with the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden. Then he took, and this is in verse 15, he took the man and set him in the garden to in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and take care of it. Then Yahweh got him, and he's in a garden. He's not taking care of the whole earth. Who's taking care of the whole earth?
Satan.
The nations.
The nations are.
Yes.
And they are under the rule of Satan.
Then Yahweh gave the man this admonition. This is an order. Okay? This is an order. Gave him this admonition. You may eat indeed of all the trees in the garden. Nevertheless, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you are not to eat. For on the day you eat of it, you shall most surely die.
In other words, be put to death.
Put to death as punishment for disobeying my command. Is it, do we have any proof that God would do anything like that? Do we have any proof that God said, if you do such and such, you will die?
Oh, sure. I mean, you...
The one I can think of, a great one, is
Noah.
The ark.
Yeah, the ark.
You know?
Right.
And a lot of that happens around the ark, you know, with Nadab
and Abihu.
And Abihu, that brings strange fire in and what have you. So... And God has made it clear. I mean, you read Revelation. What does he say is going to happen to the wicked?
They're going to be put to death.
What makes them wicked?
Disobedience.
They don't do what he says. They don't do what he says. So the thing is that people try to change this because, of course, they didn't die on the day that they...
And the other thing is God would never kill anybody. He has Satan to do that for him.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of people that believe that. But see, here's the thing. What is true and what's a lie? That's how the war is fought. When we look at here, and I know we just have a couple more minutes left, but you look in Genesis 3, the woman knew what God had said. When the serpent asked about, you know, did God say you could eat any of any of the trees in the garden? The woman says, we may eat of the trees of the garden, but of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it nor touch it under pain of death. Now, you know, I've heard all kinds of stuff. There. Well, how could she have known what death is? And how, you know, why God says you're going to be put to death? And if God says that something is going to happen to you, he makes sure you know what it is that he's saying. He doesn't leave you in the dark. Well, I don't know. Well, he said that, you know, flibberjob is going to happen, but I don't even know what that means. No. God doesn't say, I'm going to do such and such to you unless you know exactly what that is. So the woman knew what God had said. And the other thing is, they're flesh and blood, so they're mortal. They were not a flesh and blood being, an immortal flesh and blood being. There's no such thing. That's why God put the tree of life in there, because although they were flesh and blood mortal, he gave them access to eternal life. It's the same type of thing that's described in Revelation. Access to eternal life. Tree of life is there. So in the garden, God gave them access to eternal life. But he said, if you eat from that tree, I will put you to death on the day that you eat from it. So what God did was, is he set up the condition for him to begin the war against the dragon and his kingdom, the kingdom of the world, and the kingdom of God. And we will talk about that tomorrow.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here. We are going to be back tomorrow, as Rick said, at 10 a.m. Pacific time for a further edition, another edition of the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. And we hope to that you will go to our websites and take a look around, primarily spiritoftruthministry.net. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis Neufeld wishing you all a good day, and we'll see you tomorrow, Sabbath. Have a great day.